In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The author and lecturer, who was a former watchmaker in the Netherlands, Corrie ten Boom, tells this story. It happened years ago, little after World War II. Corrie and her sister Betsy were prisoners in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück, and they suffered horribly. And there was a particular SS guard who was particularly brutal, and he had a fierce reputation of being hostile and going out of his way to make people's lives miserable. And in a way, the death of her sister was indirectly caused by this SS guard. After the war, Corrie pretty much gave up watchmaking and became a lecturer on healing the hurts of people who suffered during the war and helped them get through it. Especially her theme was forgiveness, because that was the only way in which people were freed. She found that those who held on to bitterness were the ones who became, in a sense, invalids. And those who were able to free themselves to forgive were able to live life fully. And so she went on the circuit preaching, talking about forgiveness. One day, she was giving a talk in a church in Munich, and she was gazing out into the crowd, and she could have sworn that this man looked very familiar to her. And she kind of looked at him again and realized it was the SS guard. And after her talk, the SS guard, former SS guard, comes up to her and says, "Fräulein, isn't it wonderful that Jesus has washed away our sins?" And he goes to extend his hand. And first of all, Corrie is trying to smile, but she can't. She's trying to extend her hand, but she can't. And finally, you know, she's realizing, okay, I have to practice what I preach. This is the ultimate test. I'm talking about forgiveness, and here, right in front of me, is someone who is going to prove that I'm walking the talk. But she couldn't forgive him. She couldn't forgive him. So she said a little prayer. "Lord Jesus, I cannot forgive this man. You forgive him so that I can forgive him through you." In an instant, practically, all of a sudden, she starts seeing this man in a different way. In fact, she had a love for this man, a compassion for this man. And all of a sudden, all the things, all the burdens that she was experiencing about carrying this burden all these years was lifted, and she felt joy. And we don't know what the conversation looked like afterwards, but we can see that there was, in a very real sense, a reconciliation that took place. Impossible in the eyes of the world that this would take place. This horrible man who caused so much grief became now an object of her forgiveness. But we have a secret here because of this story, and that is, all forgiveness comes from God. So God does not forgive us because we forgive our brothers and sisters who have offended us. It doesn't work that way with God. God is gracious and merciful and compassionate toward us. So he's always taking the first move, always. So what happens then? When we have a situation in which there is an impossibility of forgiving, what do we do? Well, I think the first thing is, once again, all forgiveness comes from God. So that in a very real way, we are not forgiving that person. God is forgiving that person through us. It is God who is forgiving that person. And we become the instrument of his mercy. It really is a freeing thing for us, that it is really God who is forgiving in us and through us this person, and we become an instrument then of his love. So in a very real way, we don't have to white knuckle it and say, "Oh yeah, God wants me to forgive. I'm supposed to forgive. That's one of his commandments. It's in the Our Father." And by the way, in the Our Father, there's no mention of love in the Our Father, is there? But there is a mention of forgiveness. That means that when we forgive, that's a form of love, a great love. Another thing about forgiveness is that we forgive the person, the deed, the action. In a very real sense, we cannot forgive. When Jesus was on the cross, he did not forgive the execution that he was undergoing. He forgave the people. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And so, once again, the burden is lifted because we don't have to rationalize the behavior and saying, well, you know, maybe he had a bad day. Well, maybe that person did have a bad day, be that as it may. We are forgiving the person, our brother or sister who may have offended us, but then all of a sudden we realize that we are forgiven. That's why our community of faith here is a community of those forgiving and those forgiven. And so what we have received from God graciously to lift us from the burden of our own sins, we in turn are called to be instruments of God's love and power of forgiveness to free others as God has freed us. Now, there's some spiritual warfare involved in this, okay? So the old boy, otherwise known as Satan or the devil, will try to influence us into our own sense of our own rights. Our rights have been violated. So I have to hold on to this grudge because it's the right thing to do. This person hurt me, and I'm not going to let him off the hook. I'm going to hold on to it because I'm not going to free him from that. What happens then is, as you know, from my own, maybe from our own experience, we get entangled in it. We get entangled in it. And our hurts then become magnified. And then there comes a time, which God does, where his grace comes to us with the message of healing. He knows our hurt. So when we call God in, he's there to heal our hurt. And then in turn, we are able to be instruments of healing for those people who may have hurt us. In a very real way, we are, in a sense, sometimes broken human beings. And God is there to, in a sense, heal us and to make us whole again. That's why he died for us. That's what the whole message of redemption, that's the whole message of death and resurrection. We all experience this form of death sometimes in our lives. But the Lord is there to, in a sense, in a very real sense, to resurrect us and to give us new life. St. Paul today, very briefly, in his epistle, he and Barnabas were out in the field, you know, doing all kinds of work for the Lord and not undergoing a lot of hardship and everything else. And they were being compared to Peter and his group, as if Peter had, in a sense, more privilege and more rights. And Paul did not argue that. He did not say, well, you know, he would say, I'm an apostle. He was always very clear about that. But there was a time when he said, I'm not going to make an issue out of this, that they're treading on my rights here, you know, that I should be more than I should be. Paul is recognizing that sometimes we have to relinquish, you know, our sense of self-righteousness for the sake of the gospel. So in other words, sometimes at times our rights may be violated, but at the same time, God shows us that in the gospel, when we are experiencing that weakness of this situation, we're given newness of life in him, which is good news indeed. That's why Paul never got bogged down on who's the greatest or who's this and who's that, because he knew that God chose him for a mission as he chooses us for our own individual mission. And so sometimes the sin of envy or jealousy creeps into a community that Paul recognized happening back in his day. But at the same time, there was the reconciliation that took place, where brothers and sisters looked at their own selves and realized that their very behavior was dividing the community. And it is there that they came together in reconciliation. And yes, in love, because it was not them who was forgiving one another. It was Jesus forgiving through them and bringing life at its full to the whole community. And so today, as we have gathered for this Eucharist, in a very real sense, we are called to bear spiritual fruit. And the spiritual fruit that we are called to bear is the fruit of forgiveness, which brings freedom. And so today, let us call for the grace of God to come upon us, to give us that realization that all forgiveness comes from God. We have shared in this great gift that God has bestowed upon us, that he freely calls to share with others. Blessing the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.